In his letter to the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul, in the word of the Most Holy God, says this. Ephesians 3, beginning with verse 1. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me, my revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given me to bring the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what the plan of the mystery hidden for the ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance to the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Renee was telling me it doesn't do any good to wear the microphone if I don't turn it on. Excuse me just a second, sorry. As Betty and I were talking, today is Epiphany. Epiphany. The Epiphany, you know, capital letters, is the visitation of the divine to humanity. Epiphany, smaller e, is a moment when you suddenly see or understand something in a new or suddenly a very clear way. That is what the Apostle Paul was talking about. All through time, Israel knew from the beginning, from the promise of Abraham, when God told Abraham that all the nations of the world would be blessed through him. Israel has known that the Gentiles would be blessed by Israel. What they didn't know was that all the walls come down. All those things that separate us are supposed to be lying on the ground in rubble now because of what Christ has done. They understood that Gentiles were to be blessed, but for Gentiles to be on equal footing with the Jews? For men and women to be on equal footing? For slave and free, for there to be no difference? Rich, poor, young, old, that all of the world is now equal. Folks, that was mind-bending. That concept had never come about before. Unfortunately, while we understand the concept, it still doesn't come about today, does it? God revealed himself in a myriad of ways to show people what we're supposed to be like. It began with creation. Creation is a very balanced thing. We have night and day. We have the sun and the moon that regulate life on earth. We have water. and land. We have plants and animals. We have all of those things that make life possible on this planet. I am so sorry, but I can't help it. God used this creation, and what do we learn about God from that? That's a real question. Powerful. What else?
No bias.
What else? Have you ever thought how many different flowers there are? God doesn't just like red roses, does he? Do you ever think how many, I've got one. Did you ever think how many different flowers there are? I do, because I'm allergic to all of them, but they're every color, aren't they? So God is a God of infinite variety. Creation shows us that there's a thoughtful plan behind it all. And then God revealed himself in the Old Testament prophets. He spoke to them, and they spoke to the people. What are some of the things that God said through the prophets? Work with me here. The Messiah will come. And there's many different signs of that Messiah. He told Abraham that the children of Israel would be enslaved in Egypt, and when they came out, they would be a mighty nation. And it came to be. He told them, if you follow me, these are the blessings you will have. If you don't follow and rebel, these are the punishments that will happen. All that came to be, didn't it? The Ten Commandments. God spoke through these prophets and told us the promises. And God fulfilled them all. What does that tell us about God? Faithful. Reliable. Long-suffering. Patient. Patient. Loving. He is the one who not only created it, but he is still in control. He knows what has been, what is now, and what is going to be. And then God revealed himself through miracles. Let's name a couple of miracles. You would think of that one. For those of you who didn't hear it, Ross came up with the turning water into wine one. Parting the Red Sea. The lame walk. Dead rise up, the blind see, the sun held in the sky and not moving. That one's in the Old Testament. If you don't know that one, we need to look it up. Yeah, moved it back one time too. Very good. Who else could hold the sun? Actually, he held the earth, but you know what I mean. It is amazing, the miracles. What does that teach us about God? He's in control, and nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. What is impossible for God?
Nothing.
Because he's God. We've seen miracles. There's a few sitting here. I would be remiss if I did not tell you this. This is, don't put more in this than there should be, okay? But while I was in Kentucky, Hattie's washing machine went out, so I was taking laundry to do, and I got trapped at an intersection where a skunk had been. Skunks are Kentucky mile markers because they've got them everywhere. And I had the asthma attack of my life. And y'all have seen a couple of doozies, but nothing compared to this. It's really a bad thing when you are behind the wheel of a car and losing consciousness because you cannot breathe. So I am so grateful that God allowed me to get off the road and that I found my inhaler and everything was fine, of course. But folks, it is a miracle that in that big, amazing hole that I call a pocketbook, all I had to do was reach in and that inhaler was there. Because I can hunt 15 minutes for my keys. Miracles, they happen all the time. We've got a few sitting here. We have seen God's amazing healing hand, haven't we? And we're going to see it some more. Miracles mean that God not only has all power, but he really cares about us. God doesn't do miracles to show off. He does miracles because he loves us. He cares for us. And he rescues us. God revealed himself in the word made text. What do I mean by that? Say it louder, Danny. The Bible. God revealed himself to various people and they wrote it down, divinely inspired. God reveals himself in those pages. Those pages are life to us, folks. Yet, how often do we neglect it? I mean, let's be honest. Let's be honest. How often do we actually neglect? If someone, maybe you didn't know that well, but someone rescued you from in front of a speeding train or pulled you out of wreckage of a vehicle and saved your life, and that person wrote you a letter, wouldn't you at least read it? I'm just saying. But we have God's revelation of himself in the word made text. He's in there. See, the thing is, God wants us to know him. He's not hiding, shrouded in. He wants us to know who he is. But his greatest revelation was in the word made flesh. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. Jesus didn't do anything the Father didn't tell him to do. He didn't say anything the Father didn't tell him to say. He lived his life as a human being on this planet. But he did it in the power of the Holy Spirit. God has spent all this trying to show us what life could be like, and we couldn't get it, so he sent Jesus, not as God walking around, but as a human being full of the Holy Spirit. Every human being has the possibility of being full of the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus and being just like him. Did you know that? Did you know that, people? We can be just exactly like Jesus. It is not beyond what we can do, because all we have to do is give ourselves to the Holy Spirit. So why don't we? Well, there's all kinds of reasons, but I think I can sum it up in one word. Stubborn. We want what we want when we want it. Thank you very much. We want our own way. Don't shout me down just because I'm preaching good. We're stubborn and selfish.
Lazy.
Ruth Ann said, some of us are controlling, and Robert sat there and said, I ain't saying nothing. Saying nothing. We don't, because we don't want it bad enough. And God knew that individually, that's how we were going to be. While we all can be like Jesus, we don't choose to be like Jesus. So he put us all together in the Word made church. With Christ as our head, with the Holy Spirit being the life force that breathes the life of God into us, we as the church can be Christ. We can hold each other up. We can get past all those little petty things that divide us. We can get through, because, you know, if I'm lazing out, John's got my back. John can take care of that. If John is not able to do something, you know, because he's out grilling bologna, then it's good bologna, John. If John's out grilling bologna, then Charlie can do it. And when Charlie wants to do it, but he's got to mow his yard, Walter can do it. As long as Ashley reminds him. Truth is truth, Walter. Folks, together we are greater than just the sum of our parts. The church was put here to be Christ on earth. And not just that. We are the beginning of the unification of the universe. The church diversity is mandatory. One of the things I love about Kendrick's Creek is this is probably the most diverse congregation I've ever had. There's some people here I ain't never seen anything like you. This is where you say amen, Jerry. We're diverse, because remember, there's no more male female, there's no more slave free, there's no more Jew Gentile. We are one body, And that means that every person that we meet is a brother or sister, either already adopted or potentially adoptable. All of us. We're the unification. That diversity is so necessary. Have you ever been stuck eating the same thing all the time? When Gary and I first got married, the only thing we could actually afford were those ramen noodles. Because you could buy 10 of them for a buck. Shows you how old I am. You could buy 10 of those things for a buck. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. We ate a lot of ramen noodles. When we got out of school and had jobs, I never bought ramen noodles again. Because diversity is what gives life spark. It's what gives us spark. We shouldn't fear each other's differences. We should enjoy them. We should be bold. There should be no such thing as a cowering Christian. By bold, I don't mean knocking people down. I don't mean hitting them over the head with your Bible. By bold, I mean unafraid to stand for truth. Unafraid to stand up for the weak. And even if you are afraid, doing it anyway. If God can use Paul, he can use all of us. Paul was educated. He had a lot of things going for him, but let's face it, Paul was a jerk. And then he became Paul, a different person. Because of what God did in his life. He went from being the one throwing the stones to being the one getting stoned. Not, but. I just thought I would say that. Because sometimes I realize that this is being recorded.
They can't see those motions.
And they can't see the motions. Throwing rocks. It's amazing to me when a Christian is afraid. Why would we ever be afraid? But we are, aren't we? It happens. This is not to condemn you if you're afraid of something right now. Don't hear something I'm not saying. I'm simply saying that if you are in fear right now of something, you can tap into boldness. It's not condemnation I'm talking about here, people. It is, there is hope. There's power. For all of us, be bold. The most powerful force on the universe is not a nuclear weapon. The most powerful force is not mighty armies and navies. The most powerful force is not political power. Or money. The most powerful force is the church of Jesus Christ. We have access to the power to change the world, people. So why aren't we doing it? Hear what the scripture said. I want you to should catch this, because quite honestly, this was an epiphany for me. I've read this how many times, but it just finally jumped out and I saw it clearly. So that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to rulers and authorities in heavenly places. In other words, we're used to thinking of us being like the pawn of the cosmos. Folks, the church is changing the cosmos. Did you ever think about that? The church is the one instructing powers and principalities for good and for ill in the universe. Did you know that? This is the first day of a new year, first Sunday. The first day that we came together to worship for the new year. I want every person here to walk out that door with your head held high, with a smile on your face, not because all your problems just got solved, but because the solver of the problem is on it. I want you to today say, God, what do we need to do? We tend to pray a lot for ourselves. That's kind of normal, I think. Because, you know, we know. We know about us. Let's pray for Kendricks Creek. Let's pray for the church in Kingsport. The church. Churches, but the church in Kingsport, because it doesn't matter, you know, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Episcopal, Catholic, the church. Let's pray for the church, Tennessee. You want Tennessee to have the greatest education? Do you want Tennessee to have zero unemployment? Do you want Tennessee to be a zero crime rate? Are we praying for it? Are we doing something? Because, you know, the church has the power to change the cosmos. I really think we can handle some of this little stuff. Don't you? I want us to start this year like lions. I want us to stay strong through the year. I want us to remember who the head is. I want us to remember that the power of the Holy Spirit is in each one of us, giving us the ability to be exactly like Jesus, to do what he did, to live like he lived. But folks, you got to want it bad enough. When I was having the asthma attack, you know what I wanted? Air. You know, the thing that we take advantage, you know, we don't even think about it most of the time. You know, it goes in, goes out. When you cannot grasp a breath and you really, really want air, that's what we need to want. We need to want that much of God. We need to want him like we want the air that we breathe. He's got to be that important. And if he is, Kingsport, Tennessee, the United States, the world, the cosmos will change. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.